When you hear the word compromise, what comes to mind? Is it something good or something bad? We all compromise from time to time. There are lots of good ways that compromise helps us in life. If you've ever been married, you know how to compromise. At least I hope you know how to compromise. If you've really ever been in a relationship of any sort, even with friends, compromise is essential to maintaining relationship. You can't always have your way, but you have to give so that you can join together in a common cause. If you've ever been standing in the store and you've looked at what you wanted to buy and then looked at your wallet and saw how much money you had in it, you may have also been in a place where you've had to compromise, saying, well, maybe I won't buy the name brand stuff this time. Maybe I'll get the generic. Or maybe I won't buy that this trip. I'll wait till next trip because I have to maintain my budget. I have to keep things in order. Compromise like that is good. It helps us to keep on track. It helps us to stay focused and be wise with what we have. Compromise is essential, and it is oftentimes good. It's giving up one thing, potentially one good thing, to get another good thing, something that is maybe even better. But compromise isn't always good. Sometimes compromise is a bad thing. Sometimes compromise can actually keep us from getting the good that we hoped to receive. And this is especially true when it comes to our faith. When it comes to God, compromise is the last thing that we want to do. Today we're going to be looking at the plagues, continuing our time in Exodus. We've seen so far that Moses has turned the Nile to blood, or God, through Moses, has turned the Nile to blood. He's caused frogs to cover the land, gnats to torment the people. Each time, either verbally or implied, Moses asked Pharaoh to let my people go. The Israelites who had been oppressed, who had been enslaved, who were being beaten and killed, the chosen people of God. Moses is coming to Pharaoh and saying, let them go, let them be free. But each time Pharaoh hears this message, each time he experiences a new plague of some sort, it says that as soon as that plague goes away, his heart is hardened and he refuses to follow God's command. We've seen through these plagues that the plagues are a huge annoyance to the people of Egypt. But we've also seen that these aren't just about annoying the Egyptians. It's not just about annoying Pharaoh. It's about attacking the gods of Egypt, the very ones that the Egyptian people and even the Israelites at times have been putting their trust in. God is coming and saying, I am the one who is in charge here. I am the one who has all the power. I'm the one who has the authority, not you and not your gods. In this fourth plague, we see that God sends flies onto Egypt. And we don't know for sure. There's lots of different ideas of what God the flies could be focused on, because there are so many who the flies might fall under. But it's interesting to note that when seen with the rest of the plagues, we see an even bigger statement being made with the flies. You see, Moses, or God, turned the Nile River to blood. He showed that he was in control of the waters, the very life of Egypt. Then, after the frogs came out, he brought gnats from the ground. The dust turned into gnats, and God showed that he was in control of the land. And now, with the flies, God shows that he is in control of the air, the things of the air. And where Egyptian gods usually had a location where they were effective, where they were in control, water, land, or air, God says, I'm not like these other gods. I'm not contained into one little section, one sector of life. I am in control of all of life. My hand is over it all. And so we see God using his creation in all these different ways to torment and plague the Egyptian people. It's interesting to note, Charles Spurgeon brings this out, the great preacher of the past. He says, when it pleases God by his judgments to humble men, he's never at a loss for means. He can use lions or lice, famines or flies. In the armory of God, there are weapons of every kind, from the stars in their courses down to caterpillars in their hosts. There's nothing, again, that's out of God's control, and there's nothing that he can't use for his purposes. This is a key element to keep in mind as we look at the plagues. But in this plague, the fourth, flies are the creation of choice. Flies that are sent to swarm all over the lands of Egypt. And it says in the Bible that the flies actually ruined the land. You can imagine what it must have been like. Flies just swarming people's faces, covering the animals in the fields. I know when I am out in the summer, there are those biting flies that they always seem to get my ankles. Have you ever had those flies get you? They come and all of a sudden you're just minding your own business and then, you swipe at it, but it just flies away and gets you on the other side. And then another one comes. You keep this game of swatting back and forth and maybe you actually hit it eventually, or maybe it just gets tired of toying with you and flies away. Day in and day out, this is what was happening to the people of Egypt, but not to the people of Israel. God showed his power by making a distinction between the Egyptians, his enemies, and the Israelites, his chosen ones. And so we see God's power displayed in so many different ways in this and all the plagues, but his power in sending, but even the miraculous power in taking away the flies upon Moses' prayers. And while there are so many things that we could look at related to God's power in this this passage, I think that this morning our focus is going to be on Moses and a choice that he had to make when God's power was on display. You see, Pharaoh was getting sick and tired of all of this. He was ready to be done. And so he calls Moses and Aaron in to his throne room and says to them in Exodus 8:25, "All right, I give up. Go ahead and offer sacrifices to your God," he said, "but do it here in this land." It seemed like Moses had gotten what he wanted. Pharaoh had finally capitulated, but there's something about what Pharaoh said that is incredibly important to notice. And that's that while Pharaoh said, "All right, go ahead and offer sacrifices to your God," he wanted to make a deal. He wanted to negotiate a little bit. And he said, "But do it here in the land." In this moment, Moses was faced with a choice. As a negotiator, or at least in this position as emissary or spokesman for God, he was there to work out this deal, and it was a question of, well, do I take this offer. Pharaoh's saying we can go sacrifice. It's not everything we wanted, but it still seems good. Or do we refuse? Without really knowing when all of this will end. Moses needed to decide, is this something that I can compromise on? Or is it something that I need to stand firm? In this case, to compromise would have been a serious issue. And in this case, we see that compromise would have ignored God's command. You see, when compromise comes and it's related to the will of God, the commands of God, we have to be very careful what we do. And Moses knew this. He was very hesitant to ignore what God had said to him. And we see in Exodus 8:26, Moses replies to Pharaoh. He says, but Moses replied, wouldn't it be right? The Egyptians detest the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God. Look, if we offer our sacrifices here where the Egyptians can see us, they will stone us. We must take a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he has commanded us. God had commanded Moses that he would lead the Israelites out of the boundaries of Egypt, and there they would go to sacrifice to the Lord. Here, Pharaoh allows the sacrifice part, but says, do it within the boundaries of Egypt. You know, it doesn't seem like at first glance it's that big a deal, does it? One or the other? Isn't there room for negotiation? But is there ever room to ignore the command of God? I think when we look at this, it brings us to this kind of compromise that I'll just say ignorance isn't the best word, but compromise of ignorance. Ignorance in either not knowing or ignorance in just ignoring. We look at Moses and think, well, of course you want to follow God. Don't make this compromise with Pharaoh. Don't ignore what God's command is. But is it really that easy? I think there are often times that we fall into making this kind of compromise in our own lives, that we read the Bible, we read what God says, we see his commands to us, and we say, well, that's a little harder than I'd like to work. That's a little more uncomfortable than I want to be. I'll just ignore those parts. These parts over here, I really like this stuff. God loves me, God's forgiven me, God's given me eternal life. But, you know, I kind of like my sin too. And you know, compared to other people, my sin, my problems aren't that big. What's the big deal? I think that's the catchphrase of this kind of compromise. What's the big deal? So I get a little angry every once in a while. So I have lust in my heart that I keep holding on to. So I'm greedy from time to time or want what other people have. So I don't really care about the poor or others that much. What's the big deal? The problem is that when we look at God's word, when we look at his commands, the big deal is that when we decide what we think we should do and what we think we shouldn't do, we actually are kicking God off of his throne and putting ourselves there. We say, I'm the one who can make the decisions. I'm the one who knows what's best, what's good enough. And so, God, let me whittle through all the things that you have told me, and then I'll decide how to live. This is a very dangerous way to go. But there's so much pressure. We're busy. The culture around us is pushing us in directions that would turn us away from God's word in lots of different ways, and we have to make a choice. Are we going to stand with what God says, or are we going to just choose to ignore and go our own way, go the world's way, go the easy way? When we look at the greatest command, Jesus says this. He says in Mark 12:30, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." He goes on to say, "Love your neighbor as yourself." But this greatest command that we are given is to love God. That's what it means to be a Christian, that we love God, that we follow Jesus, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are His. But what does Jesus say about what it means to love Him? In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you obey my commands." You don't wrestle through whether or not this one's worth obeying or not, or whether this one is doable or not. You trust me and you obey. That's what it means to love. That's what it means to love God, to let Him be on the throne of your life, to let Him be in control, to trust Him. So many things tempt us to compromise, but we should never ignore God. Not only does compromising our faith in these ways put God in a kind of demean God or put God at a place lower than us, but it also does another thing. I think we see in this passage that compromise confuses God's purpose. Confuses God's purpose. You see, here the Israelites were given an opportunity to sacrifice. On the surface, that seems really good, right? They can honor God, they can worship Him as they see fit. Wouldn't God be happy with that if they can't get more? The thing is that if the Israelites, if Moses would have said sacrifice is the end goal, sacrifice is why God wants us to come out here, if he would have said that's the purpose, well then this would have seemed like a good thing to do. But the reality was that sacrifice was not the purpose of the people leaving Egypt. The purpose was actually much more. In Exodus 3:8, all the way back to when God is revealing himself to Moses and Moses is going to the people to say that he has come on behalf of God, he says that God told him this, that, "So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land." It's a land flowing with milk and honey. A land where he would be their God and they would be his people. Where they would live in relationship with each other. This was the goal. The sacrifice was just one step on the way to that bigger goal that God had planned. To compromise here would have confused the two. Again, we can do the same thing, right? We see it very easy And I think for us, this compromise is kind of like on the other end of the spectrum. If we think of two big broad ways of compromising, either just ignoring, or this is a compromise of legalism. This idea that that it's going through the motions is what God wants, rather than something more. We see this confronted by Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus speaks to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and he says, "You guys, you have done everything right, but..." He says this, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." He says, you look good on the outside. You do all the right things, but inside you're dead. Inside your heart is wasting away. You've missed the purpose because you've gotten so focused on these duties to perform. Kind of missed the forest for the trees. We can do the same thing. There are those in America, well, there are those in the church in that are Christians who have been going to church their entire lives. Every Sunday they're in the pew. But if you look at their hearts, if you look at their lives, they're no different today than they were when they first set foot in that church, maybe even when they were young kids. Their hearts haven't grown. They haven't gotten closer to God. They haven't experienced new life. They haven't had a change of heart. They aren't more obedient to Him. They aren't serving others more. They simply fill a pew and think, "This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what God wants. If I just stay here long enough, if I come here enough, then God will be happy." But they've missed the point, the purpose. We can do this with all sorts of different things that we look to as service, as ways that we live our Christian life. And it's easy because the sacrifice in the Israelites' mind, it was important. It was important. But it wasn't the end. Same thing with going to church. Same thing with reading your Bible. Same thing with prayer. Same thing with all these things. All of these things are very important, but they're not the end goal. The end goal is God. Is having more of Jesus in your life. Having more, being more attentive to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. That's what all of those things are pointing towards. They're leading you to the promised land. Leading you to relationship with God. That's what the promised land is, a place where a relationship with God can happen. If we look at them as simply a to-do list that we're checking off, and we don't actually bring God into those things that we're doing, we're compromising the point. Ultimately, this is, again, just as dangerous as ignoring God and His commands altogether, because when we compromise, it can keep us from God's promise. You think about Israel, as they would have gone out into the wilderness or gone into the land of Egypt. They would have offered their sacrifice. They would have done all their things, had their festival, and then gone back to slavery, right? It would have been still oppressed, still under the control of Pharaoh. If they would have compromised on this point, they would have gained nothing. Still trapped. Pharaoh thought he could pull a fast one on them. Get them confused, get Moses to give in and negotiate in a way that he knew he could retain pretty much all that he wanted. And this is what Satan does to us. He says, you know, you can give up a little bit of what God wants for a little bit of what you want. He'd be okay with that, right? You can make God happy with you if you just do this, that, and the other thing so that you can check off the list. And so you can, when you get to heaven, you can hand him the slip of paper that says, look all the things I've done, God. That's enough, right? Satan tempts us to go through the motions. He tempts us to not take our faith seriously because we don't want to be seen as fanatics by others. He tempts us to pick and choose what we think is important, to hold on to our sin. But he does it because he knows that under it all, the real potential is that it will keep us from God. It will keep us from ever being free, from ever escaping the bondage to sin that God has freed us from. It will keep us from really knowing what relationship with God is all about. Revelation 3:16 talks about this idea of kind of being wishy-washy in this faith, a faith filled with compromise and kind of going our own way. And Paul writes to the church of Laodicea, or not Paul, John does, and speaks on behalf of Jesus to the church of Laodicea. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. It says if you're just on the fence all the time, if you're just living a life of compromise one way or the other, the results will not be good. Moses had to decide, was he all in? Was he going to ride this out to the end, trusting that God knew what he was doing? Or was he going to compromise at this point, take the easy route, and give in to Pharaoh? Are you all in? Are you going to trust God to take you to the end, regardless of what that looks like or what that means for life? Are you going to trust in the things that he said, that they're true, that they're good, that they're for your good? Or start to pick and choose what you want to believe? Are you going to be in a situation where you go through all the motions of the Christian life, but really do it without any real sense of relationship with God growing in your heart? I think the reality is that there, for each and every one of us in this room, we can find ourselves somewhere in this, in little areas in our life where we're like, we're there. We're giving in. God wants us to say no, when he doesn't want us to just say, well, we can be perfect, or to despair because we can't be perfect. He says, when you see these places in your life, when you see those areas where you're compromising your faith, where you're giving in to the lies of Satan, he says, identify those and then turn to me. Identify those and repent. Stop doing them. And make sure that God is the focus again in your life, that he's the one that's on the throne. He's the one that you're pursuing, that you're after. The reality is that when we look at the Exodus, the Israelites didn't get to the promised land out of their own power. They didn't get to the promised land because they were good enough. They screwed up so much in the wilderness. But they eventually got there because God said, if you follow me, I'll do the work. I'll get you where you need to go. And he says that to us as well. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to get it right all the time. But if you follow me, if you keep a repentant heart, a humble heart, if you keep seeking me first, I'll get you where you need to go. You'll experience the promise. You'll experience the joy, the life, the peace of eternity. But even more than all of that stuff, you'll experience relationship with God in a way that is richer and fuller and more vital than you could ever imagine. This is what God wants for his people. This is what God wants for you. A life lived with him. So if you find yourself in any of these places, or if you feel like you haven't yet even made a decision to follow Jesus, to make him the center of your life, God's saying, come to me. Come to me. Turn from your rebellion. Turn from your way and trust God. Trust in Christ and what he has done for you. Trust that God loves you and has a plan for you. That as you give your life to him, he'll see it through. Don't compromise. Go all in for God. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much that we are yours and that you are working in our lives. We pray that you would help us to see ourselves, our hearts, as you see them. To see those areas where we're going our own way, doing our own thing, and refusing to follow you. Sometimes it seems so innocent, God, but it just is it's a slippery slope. It can lead us away farther and farther from you. So don't help us to not take it lightly, but to find those places in our lives, to root them out, and put you first. Lord, we thank you that you're the one who can help us. You're the one that can show us. Help us to depend on you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.